Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, June 7th, Pope Leo XIV praises the Council of Nicaea for providing the basis for Christian unity even after 1,700 years. Massive Russian attacks on Ukrainian cities leave several dead and a prisoner swap in limbo, and a religious sister in Thailand receives national recognition for her work to combat human trafficking. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. Pope Leo XIV met today with participants in a conference focused on the 1700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea. Entitled Nicaea and the Church of the Third Millennium Towards Catholic Orthodox Unity, the symposium was organized by the Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas in Rome. The first ecumenical council aimed to address theological disputes and establish a unified Christian doctrine, and its outcomes included affirming Christ's divinity and formulating the Nicene Creed. In his address, Pope Leo said the council should not be seen as a mere event of the past, but a compass to continue into the future. Deborah Castellana-Lubov reports.
The Council of Nicaea is not merely an event of the past, but a compass that must continue to guide us towards the full visible unity of Christians.
Pope Leo XIV expressed this when receiving in the Vatican the symposium Nicaea and the Church of the Third Millennium Towards Catholic Orthodox Unity.
What we have in common is much stronger, quantitatively and qualitatively, than what divides us.
At Saturday morning's encounter, the Holy Father gave a warm welcome to those present, expressing appreciation for the Angelicum-organized symposium as it looks forward toward the future. He called the First Ecumenical Council foundational for the common journey that Catholics and Orthodox have undertaken since the Second Vatican Council. The Holy Father pointed out,
I'm convinced that by returning to the Council of Nicaea and drawing together from this common source, we will be able to see in a different light the points that still separate us.
And he also said that through theological dialogue and with God's help, we will gain a better understanding of the mystery that unites us. Pope Leo also said that by celebrating together this Nicene faith and by proclaiming it together, Christians will advance
toward the restoration of full communion among us.
In his remarks, the Pope said the three themes of their symposium, which were the faith of Nicaea, synodality, and the date of Easter, are especially relevant for Christians' ecumenical journey.
It is my hope that the preparation and joint commemoration of the 1700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea will be a providential occasion to deepen and confess together our faith in Christ.
Pope Leo XIV, after speaking about synodality, spoke about the date of Easter.
This year, when all Christians have celebrated Easter on the same day, I would reaffirm the openness of the Catholic Church to the pursuit of an ecumenical solution, favoring a common celebration of the Lord's resurrection, and thus giving greater missionary force to our preaching of the name of Jesus and the salvation born of faith in the saving truth of the gospel.
He underscored,
let us remember that the unity for which Christians long will not be primarily the fruit of our own efforts. Rather, unity will be a gift received as Christ wills and by the means that he wills, by the working of the Holy Spirit.
I'm Deborah Castellana-Lubov.
In Ukraine, authorities say at least three people have been killed and a further 21 injured after a massive overnight Russian attack on Kharkiv and other areas. Russia said Ukraine has postponed a large-scale prisoner swap and the repatriation of bodies of dead soldiers they had agreed on during recent peace talks in Istanbul. Stefan Boss has the story.
Residents are in a state of shock after Russia bombarded Ukraine's second-largest city with massive strikes in the early hours of Saturday. Kharkiv Mayor Igor Terekhov said his city was hit by the most powerful attack since the Russia-Ukraine war broke out more than 3 years ago. It was a horrible morning for Kharkiv, which was hit by 48 Shahed Russian attack drones, four guided bombs, and two missiles, Mayor Terekhov says. Civilian infrastructure and residential buildings were hit. One of the strikes hit a 9-story residential building, causing fire in apartments on the upper floors. Firefighters struggle to battle the blaze, and rescue workers try to carry the wounded and others to safety. But they could not save everyone's lives. Those who survived the attacks are trying to rebuild their lives. Aliona Lukyanova recalls that the first explosions were in the Kiev district, so we waited. When the attack drones started buzzing closer and closer, and finally when the sound was right over our home, we took our dog and cats and hid behind the wall in the corridor. We sat down on the floor, and then it hit. It had hardly been 20 seconds after we hit when the explosion happened. Multi-story and private residential buildings, as well as educational and infrastructure facilities, were reportedly attacked. Ukraine's foreign minister urged more pressure on Moscow as Russia, in his words, continues its terror against civilians. Authorities said several people were killed and more than 20 others injured in the latest attack involving drones, missiles and guided bombs. They came after Russian President Vladimir Putin made it clear that Moscow would retaliate for a massive drone operation by Kiev last Sunday. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
Authorities in Chad have lamented the U.S. government's decision to not allow visitors from the African country and six others. As Father Paul Samasumo reports, the African Union has called for dialogue over the visa issue.
From N'Djamena, the capital of Chad, President Mahamat Idriss Deby announced that his country was suspending the issuance of visas to U.S. citizens. This is in response to the Trump administration's decision to ban Chadian citizens from visiting the U.S. Chad is among seven African countries whose nationals are now prohibited from traveling to the U.S. effective next week on Monday. In the meantime, Somalis who are resident in Kenya have expressed disappointment at the U.S. policy banning travel from Somalia. There is a large Somali population in the U.S. The largest concentration of Somalis is in Minneapolis. The African Union has also called upon Washington to engage in constructive dialogue with affected countries. I'm Father Paul Samasumo.
A Catholic religious sister in Thailand has received national recognition for her grassroots initiatives to combat human trafficking in the country's northern regions. Sister Marie Agnes Suwana Buasap of the Sisters of St. Paul de Chartres was awarded by the Thai government on the National Anti-Human Trafficking Day. Christopher Wells has more.
Sister Marie Agnes Suwana Buasap of the Sisters of St. Paul de Chartres was honored by Thailand's Ministry of Social Development and Human Security during a ceremony in Bangkok. As Thailand celebrated its National Anti-Human Trafficking Day, government ministers commended her courageous, creative, and sustained efforts in addressing trafficking, particularly among women and children living in high-risk areas. The event gathered representatives from faith-based and secular groups across Thailand working to fight human trafficking. Among the other honorees was Stella Maris, the Seafarers Ministry of the Chantaburi Diocese, which collaborates with maritime networks and local officials to rescue and support trafficked fishers and seafarers. Sister Marie Agnes highlighted the need to reach society's most vulnerable with hope and concrete action, especially during the 2025 Jubilee Year. This Jubilee Year, we are called to be pilgrims of hope, she said. Bring hope to those living on the margins, especially young women at risk of exploitation. Sister Marie Agnes says trust is essential in serving local communities, noting that her approach is rooted in education, empowerment, and community-based leadership. The Thai Nun has trained over 3,000 teachers in 35 schools to deliver anti-trafficking education, as well as setting up youth-led awareness campaigns in northern border regions. Sister Marie Agnes established a Talitha Kum Kids Network in several schools and launched livelihood programs for women in three villages to help them raise income for their families. The Talitha Kum movement is a global network of women religious fighting human trafficking. Sister Marie Agnes thanked her congregation and the wider church for their support. This work is never done, she said. It's the fruit of shared commitment, faith, and compassion. Her efforts come amid a global slowdown in anti-trafficking enforcement. The United Nations reported that in 2020, trafficking-related crime detection fell by 11%, while convictions dropped by 27%, a decline most visible in developing nations. I'm Christopher Wells.
And finally, Blessed Jerzy Powieliszko was beatified 15 years ago, affirming his murder and hatred of the faith in 1984 at the hands of Soviet agents. Christine Bresimale, an American missionary living in Warsaw, serves as a volunteer guide for English-speaking pilgrims to Blessed Jerzy's tomb. She spoke to Christopher Wells about the Polish priest who opposed communist rule in Poland.
Well, Jerzy was just this kind of nondescript guy for most of his life, although he had a huge devotion from his boyhood to Maximilian Kolbe. And he at first wanted to be a priest in Kolbe's monastery, but a priest there prophesied to him, no, you'll have a bigger impact if you go to Wyszynski in Warsaw. So the country boy went to Warsaw. And then when martial law happened and more strikes started happening, he was asked by Wyszynski to go to the major factory in Warsaw and offer the first mass there ever, which was unheard of, the no crossing the line by a priest into these communist factories and temples, basically. So he did that, and then they started having masses for the workers at his parish nearby. And then they also started having masses for the fatherland, which was an old tradition under a former Russian occupation, to help regain the identity and the faith of Poles under such a harsh occupation. And so Jerzy started leading these masses with very famous people coming to read poetry, songs, and to restore Polish sense of identity and solidarity together. These masses became huge. They started with a few hundred, and by the end, they were hundreds of thousands filling the entire park outside the church with loudspeakers outside. And these masses were a huge threat to the communist regime, and they decided at some point to eliminate him.
And can you say something about, first, the immediate impact of his death and martyrdom in Poland?
It was incredible. When he was kidnapped, it took about 11 days for his body to be brought back from the time he disappeared to the time he came back to the church. During that time, when he didn't show up for Mass the first morning, the word got out, of course, like crazy. And the next thing you know, they were having Masses every hour throughout the day and night. Of course, confessions constantly. When the news was finally announced inside the church by a priest from the AMBO, the weeping just broke out. And this is all available on YouTube. And then they began to pray the Our Father. The priest led the Our Father. But then when he got to, as forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, the people refused to say it. He had to try again two more times until they finally joined in, because they knew that Jerzy wanted to do them, but, they didn't want to do this. It was so hard.
That was Christine Broasalme, an American missionary assisting pilgrims at Blessed Jerzy Powieliszko's tomb. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit vaticannews.va. And don't forget to catch our latest updates on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Many thanks go to Daniele Giorgi in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.